Welcome everyone to another episode of season 3 of Working Within. Tell me this is your favorite season because it is mine. For this season, we've opened up a lot of topics that we haven't been brave enough to dive into before, and with people who we never thought we'd be able to be on the mic with, and that includes Jay and Amani today from the Fine and Filthy Rich podcast. If you know me, listeners, you know that money has been a journey. It's a journey for all of us. It has been something that has been extremely important as I have started, you know, my own business and grown Working Within to be what it now is. When I first met Jay and Amani and was able to talk about finance with them, they're both really knowledgeable on the subject, and it was no-brainer to collaborate and do a podcast swap together so we could talk about this money in front of all of y'all. And so make sure, if you haven't yet, that you tune into the Fine and Filthy Rich podcast and that you subscribe and you listen to our episode especially, which is about 401ks, assets, and debts. And today we knew that we would be turning that topic and many more in finance on its other side and be talking about the mindset around money, because honestly, in my mind, and we'll talk about this, 90% of wealth building is about your mind and your what you think about money, what you believe about rich people, what you believe about your ability to hold on to money versus having to spend it. So we're going to dive into that, but I'm really excited to have him on the show. This is going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about the bag. So Jay and Amani, thank you for being here. And could you go ahead and introduce yourselves to the audience?
Yeah. Do you want to start, Jay?
Okay, sure. I was hoping she was going to like tell somebody to start, but okay. Well, my name is Jay. Hello, hello. I am a co-host of Fine and Filthy Rich with Moni. And yeah, I'm really bad at introductions too, because I'm always like, what do I say about myself? But I am a mommy, currently reside in Dallas. I have a four-year-old. And yeah, I enjoy doing Fine and Filthy Rich with Moni. We have our podcast, currently growing our social media content. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. So yeah, just growing our platform, growing, you know, our business. It's really a business. I don't think we never like think of it like that. Like, we're like, we just do a podcast, like we create content, but yeah, it really is something that we're constantly growing on. So, yeah, I enjoy doing that. I also have a nonprofit. I do PR for my nonprofit organization. I'm the media director. And I also just started JCPR, where I do PR for other organizations. And I actually just got my first client. So
that is so good.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. But yeah, that's pretty much me. Nothing else to share.
And I'll, she's a Leo, y'all.
Yeah, and I'm a Leo, right? Let's get into it. If you can't tell, I'm the sun. Hello.
Oh my gosh, I'm dead. That's hilarious. Okay, well, I'm Moni. I live in the DMV. I'm originally from Colorado. What else can I say about myself? Look, she said, don't be humble. I got my master's in sociology, but I work in tech. So I work with data and tech, which it's not as fun for me, but it makes more money. So it's cool. And yeah, Jay and I started Fine and Filthy Rich together because we both had a really great interest in finances. And not only did we want to learn more ourselves, but we wanted to be able to drive a conversation for people who were young and looked like us and just had no idea where to start, because I was at that point a long time ago. I mean, I really didn't feel confident in like my finances and my knowledge until the last year or so. And I'm 26, so I knew nothing before that. So that's really why we started the platform. And also, I'm a Cancer. So shout out to all the Cancers.
Ew. And I know y'all probably like, how do they mesh? We make it work.
First of all, Leo's be more sensitive than Cancer.
She swear.
No, you know, we all have our little triggers. Thank you both of y'all for introducing yourselves to the audience. Moni, and thank you for going into the why behind the Fine and Filthy Rich podcast. I think money is a topic that is not, obviously it's not top, because then we would have more Black billionaires, that being an issue. Anyway, let's get into this first question. I wanted to ask y'all, you know, for each of us, I feel like the beginning of money really starts with like your parents' mindset around money. So could you both let us know, like, where did you first understand the concept of money, and was it positive, negative, neutral? How have you had to move how you first learned about money to like where you are now hosting a podcast and educating others?
I think for myself, you know, Jay and I were talking about this earlier and we were like, damn, you know, where did this all start for us? But I know for myself, I grew up in a single mom household. So I always saw like women working. And so I don't know, when I was younger, I felt like I had actually a pretty good mindset about money. I thought I was rich. Like I would tell people I was rich. Like I had like a rich mindset. I thought like money was just flowing in. It really wasn't, but that's what I thought when I was very young. And it wasn't until I got older, when I got a job, and then when I went through like my own financial hardship, that I think I had more of like a scarcity mindset. I think I was more afraid of like not having it. Just because I had experienced not having it. And so then now at the point that I'm at, I have more of like an abundant mindset. I have a positive mindset about money. I'm not like as afraid of it. Also just like naturally, anyone who studies sociology, I mean, you study classism pretty in depth. So it is hard to like study that and then have a positive mindset about money. But I mean, living in the real world, you know, it is what it is. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I think for me, it was hard for me to really pinpoint, you know, when I first kind of learned about the concept of money, because like I've always had money, and I don't want to like say it like that, but like I would get money at a very young age, you know, because my uncles had a business. So they were always giving us money. Like, you know, I remember on Christmases, I literally used to like think before even going over to my grandma's house, like, all right, so my Uncle James is probably going to give me $100. Then my Uncle Junior is probably going to give me $100. And then like, you know, like, and I know that I'm going to get this money. And like, that was very young for me. So I kind of grew up around money a little bit, just because like a lot of business owners were in my family. Like that's kind of the structure of my family. And so it was never like really a stranger to me, but I don't think I really understood like, okay, what can I do with this $100? You know, like for me, I remember one time vividly, like my Uncle James had gave me $100 for my birthday. And I was just like, oh my God, like he just gave me this $100. Like I'm about to go to the mall and just buy all the jewelry. And I literally went to Claire's and I spent the whole $100 at Claire's. Like I just bought a bunch of jewelry.
So how many earrings did you get?
A bunch, girl. So, you know, all them, remember at DSA, all them colored beads I would wear? I had like every single color beads, like yellow, pink, blue, green. Like I had a color for every outfit. Remember the musical note earrings? Like the one where they had the long one and the short one, girl. I remember I bought those. Like I had so many earrings, so much jewelry. Like, I went crazy. And so I never really understood like, okay, like maybe like it's not logical for me to spend like $100 at Claire's, you know, like I can buy an outfit and then go buy my accessories. Like I could get a lot of things with this $100 versus spending it all in one place, you know? So my dad used to always tell us like, you know, don't let that burn a hole in your pocket. Like he would say that all the time. Don't let that money burn a hole in your pocket. And it would always burn a hole in my pocket. Like I always spent all my money, like, cause I was like, whatever, like somebody else gonna give me $100 again. Like, you know, like it's all right. It'll come back one day, like maybe next year, but I'll get it back. So I never really, I don't know, like, I never really, like, worried about managing my money at all. Like, I was just always like, whatever, like, if I don't have it, I just don't have it. Like, you know, I knew that I could still get, like, whatever I needed, you know, because I was a kid, too. Like, your parents take care of you. You're not really worrying about, oh, my God, I have to make sure I can buy toilet paper and laundry detergent and, like, you know, things like that that I now worry about as a mother. So I think that for me, I started really managing my money and being like more conscious of my money after I had my son. That's when it really started making sense for me, because I felt so responsible for somebody, you know, like I quickly went from being a daughter to being a mother. And that totally gave me like a 180 of my mindset. Like it shifted all the way. So even like the first year of having my son, I still live with my parents. I was still like in my mind, I knew I was going to move out. Like I knew I was going to leave. Like my mom heard me on the phone one day, like talking to apartment finders. She's like, are you leaving? And I was like, kind of. girl, like, I'm gonna go. Yeah. And so, you know, like that's when it started like hitting home for me, when I was like, okay, well, like I have to make a home like for myself and for my son. And that's, you know, that's when all that like really kind of set in. So yeah.
Shout out to Jackson, by the way.
I know. He was our first guest on our podcast, y'all.
He was. Unannounced and uninvited.
Oh, not unannounced, uninvited. Oh my God. Jay, but your story around having money be like presented to you, that resonates. And that really, that has been like, I would say the biggest money challenge I've had in like the past couple years, knowing that a lot of my money gets reinvested in my business and still being a spender, but I'm working on it. But how I grew up with money, I would say, yeah, that was true. But also my dad tried to get me to understand money quickly. Like, he's the one that pushed me to study finance. I wasn't passionate about finance. He was the one who was like, you need to know, because when the stock market would come on the news, I would want to know what was going on. They would give me cash. I would be like, I love money. We would go on a shopping trip, these vacations, and my dad would give me a set amount of money for the whole vacation. Like, you need to buy your food. You need to buy whatever you want to buy. You need to buy your entrance into this. Like a 7-year-old.
So yeah.
I'm like, but to me, in my mind, what is actually I'm processing is that money is provided to me and I can always afford. And that has both hurt me and blessed me, because it has not created a scarcity mindset around money and it's allowed me to attract more. So I want to get into that for y'all. What is the biggest money challenge that you've had to overcome? Because in addition to always feeling like I was provided for, I was also facing a reality where I would go home and visit my grandparents, and it was just a completely different reality. And so it was like processing that, processing where my parents were financially. I mean, all of that's very obvious, but you don't have words for it when you're younger. Yeah. So like, what has been hardest for you in your financial journey so far, and what are you working on?
I think for myself, my biggest issue, I say this on the podcast all the time, is I was very ignorant. Like, I did not know anything, and now I'm paying off like a lot of debt, right? Like, we have a series on TikTok, follow us on TikTok, paying off debt with Moni, and I'm paying off my debt. And I got myself in this position. I even say this like in the series, just because of like financial ignorance. When I was in my like early 20s, late teens, I just got like a bunch of credit cards. I had no idea what interest was until I got the bill back. And I'm like, wait, how is this over the limit? Like, I did not understand that, you know? And so I didn't. And also, like, another thing that would happen to me, I would work so much, and then at the end of every month, I would be broke. I'm like, how I make money? Where is it going? Because I wasn't tracking my money. I didn't have a budget. And so I feel like for me, the hardest thing has just been like actually taking the time to learn new things, listening to people when they tell me something and actually applying it to my life. And again, this all happened in the last like 2 years. I didn't know much before the last 2 years. So I think that was just the most difficult thing for me, to learn everything that I was doing wrong. Because I was like, what's happening? Where's this money at? Like,
we love the growth though.
Yeah.
Definitely love growth. I think for me, I would say my biggest challenge is saving, but I also like, I'm really big on like saving. Like, I really want to like save money and invest my money. I think that that's just like huge for me, because I like to watch my money grow. Like, I want to put my money somewhere that I know it's going to be growing. So kind of like what Moni said, just like the education around that. I think a lot of it was always education, like, okay, what does this actually mean? And how do I learn about this? And I think I taught myself like a lot of things, like just kind of going out and looking for information where I could learn like, okay, like where should I be investing my money? Like, where's the safest way to go? You know, because I remember when I was working at Transamerica, people would talk about, you know, their stocks, where it's like, you can invest like aggressively, or you can invest moderately, you know, like conservatively. And I was always like, I want to go aggressively, because like, I want that aggressive growth, you know? But it's like, yeah, for every like, you know, you're going to gain $10, but what if you lose $20 too, you know? And so I just always been like really interested in that. And so I think that just like educating myself on that and also making sure that I have money to save and keeping that money tucked away. And I think it's kind of hard sometimes because like how you were talking in the beginning about like our upbringing and our parents and things like that. I try to avoid like sharing that I have savings, that I've put money away, because like anytime I'm like, oh man, well, like, you know, I wish I had like a few more dollars, or like, I really need some money to like do this. My mom will be like, and girl, Jean, if you listen to this, no shade, I just got to tell my truth. She'll be like, oh, well, like, well, what about like your savings? Like, well, what about like the money that you have like in your IRA, you know? And it's like, I already struggle within myself to like get outside of that. Like, I don't even want to think about that money. Like, that's not money that I'm trying to touch right now. Like, that's money that I want to leave there and like let it grow. Like, that's not, I don't think of that as being like my rainy day savings. You know what I mean? I think of that as being like my lifelong savings that I can like end up passing along to my son type stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I want to grow that money now. So that it's worth so much more 10 years later. You know what I mean? Like $200 can be $2,000, $200,000, you know? And so I think that that's how I like choose to think of that. And something that's just like kind of challenging for me, like not touching that money and making sure that it stays there. Cause I think there's a lot of times, like I always regret, I invested in Bitcoin when in 2018, I should have left that money there. I should have left that money there. Like my little $20 that I put in Bitcoin in 2018 would be worth so much right now. And I kick myself for it every single day because one, I was in college. So for me to even have been like educated enough to know like what Bitcoin was and like know that it was like a good investment, like I really should have left my money there. And it was with Coinbase. Coinbase is like a really good platform. Yeah, exactly. Like legit. And so I really should have left that money there and like let it grow. And I didn't because I was in college and $20, y'all know, we're in college, $20 goes a long way. You can get a lot of things with $20. Like, so I won't even go into the specifics because Charlotte, I didn't ask about the audience. So I'm looking at you. But y'all know what you can do with that $20, mommy.
I know about it, okay?
Yes. So, you know, I just really wish I would have left it there, but I'm learning that now. You know what I mean? And like the money that I have in my IRA, I have no plans on touching it. Like I'm going to absolutely leave it alone no matter how much I'm like, I could use that money. Like, no, I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to let it grow because this is my last point. I'll land my plane. I think about the movie Illegal Tender. Have you ever seen that movie? Mm-mm. Okay. So it's really good. Go watch it one day when you get a chance. Mm-hmm. But she like the mom, she was just like very well off. So she had two sons and like her son Wilson, he was in college, she drove a nice car. And he asked her one day, he was like, you know, like I never asked you, but like how do we have all this? Like what do you do? He was like, I never seen you work a job. I never seen you do any of these things. Like, you know, like you're always home with us, like being a homemaker, but like the bills is always paid. We live in this nice big old house, we live in a nice neighborhood, I drive a nice car, you put me through school. Like, how do you have all this? And so she just sat him down and she was like, listen, I went and I made all these investments a long time ago and like was showing him like just all this paperwork. She's like, all these investments I made. And she was like, I should have bought more of it. And I'm just like, I want to be that. Like, I've just always really idolized that moment in that movie. And I think about it a lot because I'm like, I want to be that mom. Like, I want to be that mom where I'm just like sitting home with my son and we chilling. And I like, he like, mom, what do you do? Like, girl, you don't even be working hard. And I'm like, you're right, son, I don't. Because yeah. I invested this money a long time ago so that we can sit here and we can chill, you know, because like, having a job and, you know, having a 401k and stuff, like that's not the only way to get to like early retirement. You know what I mean? Like you can just be smart and choose to put some of your money away to get there too. So yeah, that's my challenge.
Ooh, yes. Cause it's a, you know what? It is a commitment. I won't speak challenge, but it's a commitment for real to
yes.
be disciplined with your money.
Yeah.
And we just said about saving, like with the IRAs, 401ks, place where you put a bunch of money. And really try to leave it because it's like tax deductible. Man, that connects to some of what we discussed on your show when we recorded, because that is, you know, lump sums of cash sitting there and being really strategic about what you do with it is really important. So I want to talk more about y'all's money aspirations and get into like your views on wealth, because I think, you know, like thinking about millions and billions and high, like 6 feet, half a mil up. I think there's such a divide around views of capitalism and wealth building. And I want to hear y'all's perspectives just because I think that's really important. So what are your money aspirations, if you're comfortable sharing them or saying them high level, and how do you, like, get started already? How do you adjust your money behaviors to get closer to those money aspirations that you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in general, like, I have, you know, you have like your short-term goals, you have your long-term goals, and then you have like your super duper long-term goals. And so I think for me personally, one thing that's very, very important in terms of aspirations is to be debt-free. And so I am paying off my debt now, but the debt I'm paying off now is mostly just like credit card debt, personal loan debt, yada, yada, yada. And then obviously, of course, like most people, I have student loan debt. I went to get my master's. I tell this to people all the time. I went to a four-year institution to get my undergraduate degree, to get my bachelor's. I have more debt from getting my master's for 2 years than I do from getting my undergrad degree. And I mean, at the end of the day, I value my master's so much. I wrote a thesis. I published work. Like, it was awesome. It's an invaluable experience. But like, I don't want to have that debt forever. And so that's like a very important goal for me. And then like investing as well, as we've like talked about before, there's so many different ways that you can invest. Like, I really love like the stock market, and I want those investments to grow, especially when we're talking about like letting money sit and leave it alone. That's like very important to me. Like, even when I'm talking to my friends, I'm like, don't pull that out, like leave it in there. You don't pull it out, because the stock market is going to fluctuate. So no, but, and then in long term, like I want to live a life where, one, I don't have to worry about money, and two, I have enough that I can pass on so the next generation can build upon it. I think that's important. I think it's, you want to pass enough where people can, I don't know, I think this is also like controversial. Like, some people don't like the idea of like leaving their kids their money and stuff like that. I don't agree with that. I'll leave my kid every single dime that I have, but I want them to be able to build upon it. I don't want them to be starting from ground zero. Like, I want them to have something, you know, like when Donald Trump says, like, my mom gave me a small loan of $1 million. Like, I want to be able to do that for my kids, because look where, I mean, I don't like Donald Trump, but like, you know, where he was able to take it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, because one thing about me is I love money. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Girl, me too. Okay. And it's so funny because everybody who knows me knows. They'd be like, Jayana, love money. I do. Because I love what money can get me. Like, it's so funny. We ran a poll on our Instagram page. It was like, can money buy you happiness? Yes.
Yes.
I am not a person who's like, money can't buy you happiness. That's a lie. They're like, you can't cuddle with your money at night. No, but you can buy fluffy pillows and more comfortable covers and a weighted blanket, baby. So you gonna be cozy at night because of all that money, okay? You gonna be sleeping in a nice big old bed. Like, you'll be comfortable, trust me. Like, I'm gonna make sure I'm comfortable if I got enough money. So
yeah,
I think my money aspirations are very similar to Mani's. You know, I want to live a debt-free life, of course. I honestly think being like debt-free is just like the way to go in a lot of ways. I think that there's just like a lot of freedom attached to it. And it's so funny, just like even going personal, like this morning I went and checked the mail, and like I just get tired of checking the mail and seeing bills. Like, I don't like that. I don't want that, you know what I mean? And granted, like, some of it's like toll bills, you know, I live in Texas, so like, you gonna get a toll bill, but
constantly I have toll bills constantly.
Okay. Y'all really think I'm gonna pay this? Ha 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 ha. But not pay your tolls, because they will take your license.
Because I had a bill from Colorado that shit found me all the way out here, and I'm like, how? It's been like 6 years, and I was actually with you when I got it.
Really?
At Cherry Creek. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna finally pay this shit. It's been like 6 years. Like, let me just pay it.
That's crazy. And now they found you all the way out there. You like checked them out. Like, Ariana, what are you doing here?
So dead ass.
That is funny. But no, like, I just don't want that. Like, I hate the feeling of like money like looming over my head, like things that I have to pay, where then I'm like, oh my god, like I owe this company like $50 and I owe this company like $100. Like, I just don't want that. So excuse me. I think just not having to owe anybody is a really big goal. You know, the only thing that I want to have to worry about paying is my mortgage, honestly. But if I can buy my house cash, then of course that'll be beautiful too. You know, but I wouldn't mind just only having my mortgage be like the only thing that I have to worry about paying as far as debt. And then also I want to have money to pass along to my son, you know. So one big thing is just like life insurance. Like I really want to have a big life insurance policy because that's honestly the biggest way to create generational wealth. Life insurance is everything. And so I want to make sure that I have like a really big policy so that when I pass along, my son is going to get a nice lump sum of money where he can not only put me away nicely, but then pocket some of that money and do whatever it is that he chooses to do with it. Like obviously I'm going to want him to do certain things, like be responsible with the funds. But at the end of the day, just knowing that I left that for him is everything to me. So I definitely want to be able to do that. And I just always want to be comfortable, you know, like as we're talking about, you know, you mentioned like billionaires and things like that. I don't need $1 billion. And me and Monty were talking about this. I don't need all of that. You know, I think that that's just an excessive amount of money where I think that it is a little greedy. It's just not necessary. I've been happy with thousands of dollars, you know, like I've been comfortable just having thousands of dollars and I'm okay with that. You know, if I have $1 million, great. That's nice to have $1 million. And I think Monty even said too, like $100 million is even like, wow, I'm really great, you know, but it's like, I'm not a rapper, you know, I'm not a athlete. Like, I don't need that. I don't have like my whole family from decades and decades ago, like on my back. Like, I'm not taking care of all of them. I got me and I got Jackson, you know, if I can take care of my parents too, that's nice. And my brother, if he want, you know, him and his wife, that's nice too. But it's like, it's just us. Like, I don't have all of that. Like, and everybody has their own too, you know? So it's like, that's not my mindset. So I don't need all that money. I think that you need that much money when you're like taking care of a bunch of people, when you're taking care of like your entire family for generations and generations and generations. But that's just not my reality. So like, I'm happy with managing, like I said, a couple of thousands of dollars where I'm just comfortable and I constantly have that in rotation where I have enough to pay my bills. I have enough to do my leisure luxury activities that I like to do and enough to put away and save and invest. I'm good. I'm comfortable. Like, I just want to be comfortable. I don't ever want to have to be like, oh, you know, my account is negative and, you know, I owe all these bills and I have to file for bankruptcy. Like, those are just things that I just never want to experience. I don't ever want to have to go through those things. So when it comes to aspirations, you know, honestly, I hate to say it like this, but I think that mine are just like very low, you know, like, I don't think that I want a lot at all, but it will make me comfortable. Like, it's enough for me, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. What about you, Monty? Like, what are your views on wealth building and capitalism as we know it?
I think that, so I talked about this with Jay like previously and a little bit earlier. It's really hard when you study sociology for such a long time to like have a positive view of capitalism because like you study Karl Marx, you study, you know, you learn about the Black Panthers. I remember Angela Davis came to speak to us. Like, it's hard when there's like, because when you think about it, it's like really foul. Like literally capitalism is like built on the back of slavery. So Black people. And like, it's hard to have a positive mindset about it. And so I think that like before I was like so anti-capitalist and like, I mean, I still have negative views about it, of course, but like I also live in the real world and capitalism is not going anywhere. Like, I don't think it's going to ever go anywhere unless you like move to another country and they're like, they have communism or whatever. But so for me, I'm just like, okay, it is what it is. That's my view on capitalism. My view on billionaires is that, I mean, it's a no for me. Like, it's just, to me, it's like Jason, it's greedy. There's only two ways to become a billionaire. You can get it through inheritance, which is like how a lot of people have it, or like exploitation, right? So like you have to exploit people to be able to get to that status. And like, I'm just never going to be okay with that because the people who get exploited are mostly like Black people, women, poor people. Like, it's just foul. So I'm not for that. But like, yeah, if someone has like $100 million, like I'm with it. That's fine. That's great. That's awesome for them. And so I do think it's important to like build wealth. And if you do want to have a certain amount of money, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think I'm kind of the same in Jay. Like, I'm not aspiring to have like $1 billion. Like, I don't think anybody should aspire to have that. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, totally. I love money. I'm reading. I know, right? My parents listening to this, they'd be like, imagining this little girl like smelling her $1 bill, like
I'm dead.
That was literally me. Right now, I'm reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Listeners, read that book and read it when you're ready to read it. And then,
what's the name of it? What'd you say?
Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich
by Napoleon Hill, a mastermind. That man has so many books on success, and it is beautiful. He's interviewed all the
book right here. I'm like,
shut up. Like, that sounds familiar.
It is so good. And then, but also reading it, because it's very white. It was written in like very early times, like when only white people were in business. So it's like all white men examples. And also it's just really a philosophy book. So it's just like how these people accumulated their wealth. And it's really through like a lot of willpower. But also alongside that, reading The Miseducation of the Negro. And a lot of it talks about how... everyone needs to read that book too. It's by Carter G. Woodson. And one of his big points in that book is that, you know, yes, capitalism has done what it does, but the person or the activist who dedicates their life to destroying capitalism has wasted their time, because it's going to take centuries to do that. And so it just made me really think like, okay, well then what are the other ways to dismantle things? And obviously it centers on education, because he talks about the miseducation of the Negro and what we don't learn in school, and we don't learn about our culture and our gifts and how we can capitalize on them. As for my views on wealth building, I think about this a lot in terms of where big money is not passing through, which is not our hands, not our Black hands. There are a lot of really rich white people who have had wealth for centuries. And so to me, it is interesting to be able to build a certain amount of wealth that leads to influence in a way where there's influence in politics, there's influence in philanthropy, and just in perspective, but then also the freedom to build what is not yet here. For instance, things I think about are like building a college. That takes a lot of freaking money. And so I think just for representativeness on the show, y'all, wherever you are along the wanting to build wealth spectrum, just hold that to be true for you and do whatever you need to do to accept it and appreciate yourself for it. What I don't want you to do is shame yourself for your money aspirations.
Yeah.
Because they're yours for a reason. So thank you, Jay and Mani, for that.
Of course.
Okay, one thing about me is I'm rising and I'm gonna bring the sides together. Okay, so so where have y'all learned the most about personal finance? Because look, I majored in finance. There was no class on personal finance, learning about options, derivatives, advanced management of finances for companies. But where did y'all learn about personal finance?
I think that for me, the top two is books. There's this book, it's called The Millionaire Next Door. Everybody should read it. It's really great. I like completely changed my mindset. I'm like such a frugal person now. Because in the book, it talks about like how most millionaires are pretty frugal. But like, I learned so much from my peers. And I think that that's like one reason also why we really wanted to do Fine and Filthy Rich, because we wanted it to be like your peers talking to you about money. And I share this story all the time. Shout out to Natiele. That's one of my closest friends. She's a financial advisor, and she would be on me like every week. She'd be like, did you make your budget? Did you make your budget? Have you made your budget yet? How's your budget going? Even now to this day, she'll be like, so what are you doing with your investments? And like, at first I'd be like, yo, like Natiele, like get off my back. But like now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that like you were on me like that. And you were trying to teach me, because it has like completely transformed my finances. And so like, yes, I read like books here and there, but like learning from friends, even Jay, like when we talk on the podcast and like, she tells me something I don't know yet. And I tell her something I don't know yet. I think those are the moments that I learn the most, honestly. And I retain it better than just like a book. You know, when my friend's breaking it down to me, like I'm five, I'm like, okay, like I get it now. Like that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. Facts. Like Mani said, I think we learn a lot from each other. Like I've learned a lot of stuff just like from my friends. And I think that that's honestly like the best way to learn, really, is like when you have other people in your circle with knowledge, like you should get some of that knowledge from them. You know, that's why I think like your circle is everything. You know, you want to have people around you who are well-versed in other areas that you're not. And so that gives you an opportunity to just like expand your knowledge. You know what I mean? And so like when I had met you, Charlene, you were saying like, you know, you study finance, you had a finance degree. I was like, oh my God, like perfect. Like come on my podcast, you know, teach us some stuff, teach our listeners some stuff, because that's where you learn things. You know what I mean? And so I think that that's definitely where I've learned a lot of stuff, is just from my peers and from other people. And also teaching myself. Like I go and I look at stuff, reading books, watching documentaries, anything that I can find where it's talking about money. I'm always like, oh yeah, like I want to learn more. And so yeah, I think a lot of stuff for me is like self-taught or just like learned from my peers.
Yeah, don't gatekeep from your friends. That is so cool. Like put your friends on, like literally Jay will be like, I say this all the time, I tell other people about it, we were on another podcast and we talked about it. She showed me something, it's called Self. And she was like, if you want to work on your credit score, like you should get this. And like, you know, there's been little things that we just kind of tell each other that I'll be like, hey, did you know this? And like 9 times out of 10, the other person didn't. And like, if you want your group to elevate, like you got to share the knowledge.
Exactly. No, literally, because that's the only way to grow, you know, and you want people around you who are going to help you with that, too. You know what I mean? Like your circle is really everything. Like if you look around at your circle and you're the smartest person in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. Like you need to be in a circle where there are people who know more than you so that you can learn, where y'all are like learning together. They're teaching you things, you know, like you don't want to be the person who like knows everything and there's no room for no growth.
Yeah,
that's not a good circle for you. And you also don't want to be in a group that's stagnant where like nobody's trying to go anywhere or learn anything. Like if you have a circle where everybody is constantly just like stuck on doing the same BS, like you need to go ahead and you need to move on from that circle, because you're never going to grow there, especially if you're trying to grow. Like if that's what your goals are, you're never going to do that around the circle of people who don't want to.
Yeah, dang y'all, that's so true. One of the biggest one of the ways I've experienced grief the most in adulthood is in letting people go, because of that exact thing. Like I am addicted to being stagnant. I mean, wait, what? No.
No, addicted to growth. You don't want to be stagnant.
Whoa. No, I'm addicted to my growth and allergic to being stagnant. And so anytime someone is cool with sitting down, and look, there is nothing wrong with sitting down, listeners. It's just not me. So anytime that happens, I have to get out of there. Like you said, Jay, like absolutely you cannot surround yourself with people that aren't facilitating your growth. And so that brings me like to this last question. Where do you think? Okay, Google. Damn. No, but where do you think the greatest potential for people to make money is? And how do people access more money? I imagine that's a big question on people's minds. And I have my own answer for that. It's not a fun route, y'all, but I have my answer. But what are y'all's perspectives on that, Jay and Monty?
I think that Jay and I talked about this too. I think that you have to do something that not only you're good at, but that you will be willing to do. I won't even say you gotta enjoy it, but you have to be willing to do it. I see articles all the time where people are like, oh, I had this like job where I made like $200,000 a year, but I quit it because like I hated it. And like, even if it's just like a job or like, you know, your own business, like if it's not an environment that can be sustained, you're not gonna be able to make any money in it, because you're gonna wanna give up, because you're gonna be like, I hate this shit. So I think, I don't know, like sometimes I'm like, I don't know if you should turn like your hobby into a business always, because I'm like, it's okay to enjoy things in life without trying to like make money off of it. But on the other hand, you know, it is like anybody who's had a job that they hate knows that it takes a lot of willpower to take their ass to work, you know, so.
I think for me, I think that people just need to do things that like they enjoy to do. When you're doing something that you enjoy and you find a way for it to make you money, I think that that's like the best way for you to make money, you know, because it's very easy to just like have a job that you don't necessarily want, but like you're making money there. It's just not going to last. It's not going to be long term. Because I've been in those positions before, right? Where like you go and you get the job and you quit on your lunch hour. Like you know, you leave at lunchtime and you never come back. Because at the end of the day, you're like, dang, I didn't need this money, but you're like, I really don't want to be here. Like this is not what I want to be doing. So I don't really think that it's about just like getting money at all. You know what I mean? Like I could go to McDonald's right now and get a job, but I don't want to work at McDonald's. Like I know I don't want to work at McDonald's, and it has nothing to do with like, oh, you're too good to work at McDonald's or like, you know, anything like that. No, I'm not going to enjoy it. Like that's not going to last for me long term. Like that is not a way for me to realistically make money and keep money coming into my household. It's going to be working at McDonald's, you know, and it doesn't have to just be McDonald's. And I'm not shitting on nobody that works at McDonald's, any type of job. Like I was telling Monty, I could be a heart surgeon. Do I want to be a heart surgeon? No. Does it matter that I can be making $200,000 a year? I literally don't care. Like if I don't want to be a heart surgeon, I'll stop in the middle of somebody's heart surgery and now I'm in trouble. So I think it's just all about like doing something that you enjoy and like finding ways for it to bring you money. And I think that you also just have to like fix your mindset and be positive about it and just know that like the money will come, you know, like this is something that's going to come to me. And like Charlene, I know that you know all about this because like you even shared on our podcast, like you started your business and you went like 20 months without making a dollar. But the money will come, you know, and it's like, and look at you now. So I think that you just have to be confident in what it is that you want to do and be consistent. Also, consistency is everything.
Yeah.
Once you're being consistent with it, you have that faith, then everything is going to start aligning. Like alignment is everything. I believe in alignment so much. And that's how I always know that like I'm on track, like I'm on my path. Like just those subtle reminders just remind me. Like a lot of times I'll just see like butterflies, like a butterfly like landed on my car. I was hanging out with my dad and we're like walking out of throwing axes and like we're having like such a great talk and we walk outside and there was a butterfly just sitting on the floor and it like went up and like flew on my dad's pants leg and I'm just like, oh, this is alignment. We're exactly where we're supposed to be right now. Like it'd be the small things. Like then literally when I came home from that trip, like because from then I went to New York back to see my son. Back here, I got home, a butterfly was on my doorstep. Like, I'm just like, alignment. Like, like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so you have to pay attention to those signs. Like, I'm a big sign reader. I'm a big energy reader. Like, I'm just really big in those things. And that just helps you stay on track. You know what I mean? So just like, stay the course. Don't go for what's going to be like quick and easy. Again, like, there's obviously quick and easy ways for you to make a couple $100, maybe even $1,000. But are you going to be able to make that same $1,000 in 6 months from doing the same thing that you absolutely hated doing? No, you're not going to. So do something that you love and that's going to make you some money.
Absolutely. Ah, man. Napoleon Hill, if he heard this conversation, he'd be very excited because a lot of what you mentioned is like faith. Faith is the beginning of all riches. Yes, it is. I just felt that. And also what you mentioned about being a science person, I am too, because, you know, yeah, I can say it now because it's been the 20 months and there is cash coming in. But that was very hard to justify to my parents, to justify to myself, to continue investing in something that literally was not paying me for a while, where I could have been saving, for example. That's active investment, though. So my answer to that question is ownership, which I think y'all hinted at, is just being persistent in doing something that you want to do. But also as an employee, you are always making less than your market rate. The exploitation, it happens below the billion. It happens everywhere. Every company, every employee is getting exploited. Being an owner, we have to talk philosophically about this another day. Being an owner allows you to be in control of the money in a way that you aren't able to. And to me, feels like a challenging but rewarding path to go on. I'm always pro entrepreneurship and I don't know, the faith. But the faith is the most important. Being able to
Being able to bet on yourself. Like, if you can't bet on yourself, why would anybody else? Like, if you don't believe in yourself, why am I going to believe in you? You know what I mean? You can't even like stand down on your own. And I think also, especially like we talk about this on our podcast as well, just like with the social media, people will be like, oh, like, you know, people go viral overnight and now they're rich. And it's like, okay, but like, that's not realistic. And honestly, a lot of these people that go viral have been making videos for years. Like they have been consistent and then one of their videos takes off. So like, I think like we all touched on it, but like you have to be consistent. You can't just think this is going to happen like overnight because it's not. Nothing worthwhile is going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Like Jay said, it's too good to be true. It is. She told me that one.
Mm-hmm, girl, because I'm trying to tell you, and I've been there one too many times, okay? Getting scammed to living in Florida. Like, oh yeah, we can turn your dollar to $1,000. Baby, that sounds real good, doesn't it? Like, wouldn't we all do that if we could do that? Like, no, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Like, yeah. There is no get rich quick scheme. There is no none of that. Like, you literally just have to like stay the course. Like, staying down and hard work goes a long way. From the words of the great Nipsey Hussle,
yeah.
Because it does. Like, you literally have to stay down and you have to work hard. And it just sounds so cliche, but people always just think that you can just be like you said, a overnight sensation. It's like, no, those people, I don't think there's no such thing as like sensation. Yes, they were working before we ever saw that one video that just happened to blow up. Because even like with Glorilla, people love being like, oh my gosh, she came out of nowhere. No, she didn't. That girl has tons of songs that are like coming out to surface now. She's been working, like she been rapping, she been making videos. There's just one that we caught on to. It was like, oh my God, this the one. But it's like there was other ones that she probably thought that was going to be the one too. You know what I mean? Like, you got to believe in yourself that same exact way. Like, you got to be like, this going to be the one. And when it don't blow how you want it to blow, it's like, all right, this going to be the one. Like, you know, and you just like keep on putting it out there and keep knowing that it's going to be the one. Like, you just got to keep on betting on yourself and stay down.
Even with our podcast, I don't know if you feel this way about your podcast, Charlotte, but like there was like a moment where like we would get like 3 listeners a week, but you know what we did? We kept putting our episodes out. We're like, whatever, like I don't care if one person listens to this, if we're the only ones that listen to this, and like we haven't even had our podcast for a year now, we can already see like the gradual growth, like each week more and more listeners, and it's like cool because we know that we're like consistent, you know.
Heck yeah. No, seriously. Like, it's been back on the up and up. And we was like, wow, because it was looking ugly. Like, it was really looking ugly. Like, and we were trying to, like, figure out, like, okay, well, like, what can we do? Like, these numbers are just, like, so low. And yeah, like Monty said, we just kept pushing it out there. You just got to stay down. And we believe in ourselves, right? Like, you have to believe in what you're doing. Like, I know that what we do is, like, beneficial and so necessary for our community. Like, there is no space for Black women who, like, are our same age, who look like us, who are doing what we're doing right now. You know, it's just not happening. Like, nobody's talking about finances like this openly, this raw. You know, and so it's just not there, but it's necessary. Like, you need that, because then people reach out to us all the time and they're like, y'all are so transparent. I love it. Like, we be on our podcast, like, girl, I got $4 in my account right now. Like, you know what I mean? And so it's like, we're not afraid to say those things, because, you know, somebody had even said, like, I think a lot of people just try to act like they got it and they're just so this and they're so that, because that's the era that we're in, right? Like, that's social media. Like, you have to look a certain way and like portray a certain image for people to think of you in, you know, in this light. But there is so much beauty in being vulnerable and being transparent and being real. Like, people like that still exist. We're those types of people. And because we know that it's bigger than us, like it's bigger than those couple of bad weeks that we have, we stay the course, you know, because we know that like it's appreciated on a bigger scale than a few bad weeks. So, yeah,
because I don't got it like that. Not yet. And we be on the podcast, and I think it's like really nice, like Jay said, that we can be transparent in that way. Even when you came on, you were transparent, and like we love that. We like when people feel comfortable enough with us.
Exactly. Yeah. No, for real. And those are the people that we like mesh with and click with, like real people being real. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a place for us to flex. Because like,
don't come to me and say you never stole from Walmart, because I don't believe it.
Because you're lying. Yeah, you're lying.
No, what's more likely for me is to be overdrafting. That's always my more likely.
Charlotte is like, that account was negative, baby. Yes. Girl, and me too. Girl. Speaking of sharing stuff with your friends, because I was telling Monty, like, hey, girl, listen, so when my account go negative, I just throw a couple $100 in my Cash App. That way I don't got to keep paying the overdraft fee.
Yo, go to episode 3 of Finally Rich.
We will. I will.
That was the best broke tip ever.
No, for real.
You never know when you got to put some money in your Cash App, baby. Like, okay, them days will come, okay?
You got to do what you got to do.
You do.
You do. You do. Make it to the next check.
Babe, this is the starting point of all riches, y'all. It's going to get hard, as you heard. It's going to take some persistence. It's going to take some knowledge about your money and where it can go, how you can grow it. But it takes the faith. for you to start any of that. You got to believe that you can have the money that you want to have, and you have to believe that you could deserve it too. Nothing wrong with your money aspirations. So I just want to say thank you to Jay and Moni so much. Oh, wait, I did want to do one more thing. I wanted to just say some books that we mentioned. Moni shared The Millionaire Next Door. I shared Think and Grow Rich, The Miseducation of the Negro. There's also Crucial Conversations. There's some history around money in this country, like basic economics, capital and ideology, Wealth of Nations, how money was taken from other countries and put here.
Yeah. Oh, another good one is there. It's called You're a Badass, I think. Like, it's a yellow book. And I really, really like it because a lot of books, self-help books and books about money are written by like men and white men. And so I love it because it's written by a woman and she talks about the mindset aspect for like a good chunk of the book. So that's another book.
We love mindset.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Outwitting the Devil, Money Master the Game, Little Book of Common Sense Investing. That's just a few that are on my docket to read. So thank you, Jay and Moni, for this conversation.
Yes. We're talking about thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Of course. What?
Yeah. We're happy to be here. We really appreciate it. And y'all definitely go and check out our last episode with Charlene on it. We also have an episode dropping on Friday. Well, I don't know when this is going to air, but...
It's dropping, you know.
Right. We have a new episode, y'all. Go listen to it. Yes. Listen to our episode with Charlene. There's definitely some really good gems there. And yeah, follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, Finding Filthy Rich. Also the same on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, just keep up with us. Listen along. Follow our podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. And we are on Anchor.
Yeah. Thank you both. We will make sure all of that is readily available to our listeners in the episode description. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this conversation. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Just had a great conversation with Jay and Moni of the Fine and Filthy Rich podcast, which, by the way, that name, like, absolutely yes. I am grateful that they wanted to come on Working Within and share with us because they've been doing this and it's been really cool to watch. And also just because we talked a lot about money aspirations and also what we want to see happen in our bank accounts and in our lives through our ability to render financial success and sustainability for ourselves. And one big point that I wanted to just make sure I emphasize, you know, I don't want y'all to have any shame around how much money you want to make. I believe because we created money, we are able to do what we want with it. And so historically, especially for Black people, people of color, that money has been stolen from us. It is our value taken from our nation, put here, deposited, stolen, kept from us legally. And part of my resistance is to undo that for my own self. And to claim all of the value that I'm here creating and that I want to impart on the world. And so wherever you land and you just want to be comfortable for a family versus want to rule the world money aspiration, know that it is accepted and appreciated on this show and understood just because we really understand that folks' different paths with money can really influence how they feel about it. And I absolutely recognize that. And I recognize that because faith is the beginning of all riches. If I believe that riches are evil, then I will never have them because I don't want to be evil, right? And so I don't want my mind to play tricks on me. So anyway, I loved having Jay and Moni on the show. I think their perspectives were so valuable. I think they know a lot, have a lot of experience, and have taught themselves so much, which is so like a reason to celebrate these young Black women, all of us getting to our bag. So thank you for listening to this episode. Can't wait to give you another one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.